What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, July 12th, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Justin Woodward, creative director in Terabang. Hey!
What's poppin'?
Not much. What's poppin' with you?
Everything is gravy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We have so much to talk about, Justin, because, of course, you're wearing the hat. You run Mix.
I'm rocking the Mix.
The Media Indie Exchange.
Media Indie Exchange.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I always call it the Indie Mix. Which is the thing I talk about. Kind of Funny Game Showcase.
Sometimes we do.
We had a whole bunch of games there at E3. You do the GDC thing. I always talk about it being my favorite event, of course, because it's the
most. We got Evo coming up.
Yeah, of course.
And Gamescom.
Yeah, no big deal. Yeah, you're just getting around doing the thing. But that's not what you're here for today. Instead, you're here because you are a video game developer. You don't just run the Mix.
Yes.
Where do you work? What do you run? What is
so? I am the creative director, CEO of Interrobang Entertainment. We've been currently working on a game called Chronic Blunt Punch.
Yeah.
We've been working on that situation for a minute. We crowdfunded it. You know, it's been an amazing experience. Like Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes have been amazing.
So it's Chronic and Blunt Man, right?
It's Chronic Blunt Punch.
Yeah.
We're going to have some reveals in the game.
Oh, okay.
That's the whole situation. It's a play on words, you know. Yeah, you're smashing people in the face. It's a beat 'em up. And it's like Marvel vs. Capcom meets like Final Fight.
Sure.
So there's juggling. There's all these different kind of combos. It's like it is like a hand drawn animation and stuff. So it's very much a labor of love.
Yeah. Right? And you've been working on that for a while. This isn't it, Barrett. You're screwing up, Barrett.
Oh, no.
You're screwing up.
Oh, no.
I want the video, Barrett, I'll ask for the video.
I'm sorry.
This is as bad as Kevin not understanding email today.
It's not that bad.
Kevin sucks.
That's a good segue, though.
So that's the thing. Today you're here because you've announced yet another video game.
Yes. So we can't talk too much about it.
Okay.
But we have an amazing reveal happening pretty soon. We want to reward all the people who have been following us, all the people who contributed to our FIG campaign, which is our crowdfunding campaign.
Sure.
Because we've been working on it for so long, and we want to give them something, another labor of love. So we're going to be, think Bloodstained pretty much.
Yeah.
We got some cool stuff coming up. So this is like a short little reveal of Mall Brawl.
Okay.
We got something popping off.
Barrett, show me the reveal here. What is Kevin doing? Is he here to try to defend the email stuff?
No. The stream crashed for some reason.
Okay. That's fine. Can we play the video, though, for the YouTube people?
Yeah.
I always tell them, if the live thing goes down, who cares? Just keep going. We've got a YouTube and a podcast to do. So this is the trailer we revealed today. Can we take us off screen? We don't need to be on it for it.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
There we go. Good movie song. Good use of the movie song.
Yeah, all right.
So there it is. Jay and Silent Bob Mall Brawl.
The teaser trailer.
When do they get the full trailer?
Get the full trailer next week.
Okay.
And we're going to be announcing some really cool stuff when it comes to that. Yeah.
So the way what you just described, of course. How long have you been working on the other one?
So we connect Trevor Furman, he was a character in Clerks 2.
Uh-huh.
You know, and
I remember it. Good movie.
Yeah.
Better than Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, that's the same character. And we connected, and then he was working with us on like developing the design idea behind Chronic Blunt Punch, and then we connected with Kevin. Kevin's like, it's a green light.
Yeah.
Let's get this thing popping, and then I like to say popping a lot.
Hey, dude, don't worry about it.
Yeah, so,
I like to say 100%. Don't worry about it.
100%. 100. So we got that going, and we were like, we need to figure out a way to fund this, because Kevin was like, look, I don't know too much about video games.
Sure.
I know the movie industry. We're going to let you have the license, do what you want with it, and raise the funds however you want. So we ended up raising it through a crowdfunding platform.
Through FIG.
Yeah, through FIG.
When, how long ago was this? I remember it happening.
This was in 2016.
Okay,
so we started...
It's been a minute.
Yeah, so we developed a game called Super Combo Man. Mm-hmm. And actually, that's going limited run today.
Oh, wow,
for
congratulations.
A physical version. It's going up for PS4. But anyway, we were developing that game for PS4 and Xbox One, and then at that time we were prepping for the Jay and Silent Bob game. So we were doing all the back end design work for that game while we were doing that. And then the whole, I was working at a, so we were working at a Double Fine. This is like a long ass story, but.
Dude, no, I mean, it gets even more deep than that, right? Because we've known each other for years. When you were doing Super Combo Man, you were doing that out of IGN when IGN did that, what do they call it? It wasn't the incubator, but like Indie Incubator.
Indie Open House.
Indie Open House. Yeah. That's right, where they
so
had a whole bunch
of. Yeah, exactly. So that's how we met. Yeah. We were in an incubator at IGN. It was like four of us drove up with all our shit from San Diego and just. Four of us, yeah, and we rented a place in Emeryville.
Yeah.
And we were all there working like crazy hours and going to IGN every day, you know, just rocking out development of it until we got a deal with Adult Swim Games. It kind of went from there, and then we just kept everything just kept kind of going on the up and up.
I mean,
there's always like ups and downs, and that's where I created the Indie Mix because at that point we were having issues getting visibility and
so hard to showcase an indie game, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So that kind of like came out of that, which is a blessing, and I met so many people. But then, you know, so we were developing it there. We launched with Adult Swim Games. It didn't do so hot, and then we got another deal, another publishing deal. And at that time, we were working at a Double Fine. So we worked at a Double Fine.
Tim Schafer, what a piece of garbage, you know?
yeah. Such an asshole. No, he was fucking cool. Like, and we were in that space for 3 years, too. And it was, like, so amazing. So out of that space, that's where we were finishing up the PS4, Xbox One versions of Super Combo Man. I was doing some other projects, running the Media Indie Exchange. And then we're really ramping up for this Chronic Blunt Punch.
Yeah,
Jay and Silent Bob Chronic Blunt Punch. And that all came about really randomly. It was actually, you know, Buddy Hutton? So Buddy was at IPL.
Okay.
The IGN Pro League. And we met each other. And then when that kind of collapsed, he went to Warner Brothers.
Okay.
And he's like, yo, I got this friend that wants to make this game. And it was Trevor. And he's like, can I introduce you? And he was like, yeah. So he hit me up. He's like, and I was like, I'll give him advice.
Sure.
And he's like, yeah, I got this thing or whatever. And I'm thinking of making one to meet. I'm in Berkeley. And I live in that area in Berkeley. Yeah. And so we met. And it was like, you know, Trevor from, I can't remember the right now for his name in Clerks 2. Elias.
Yeah, the young guy, right?
Yeah,
Mr. Pillow Pants.
Yeah, exactly. So he lives in Berkeley.
Oh, no shit, really?
And he's friends with Kevin, and he was like, he asked him a long time ago during like that Clerks 2 era maybe 2009, 2010, like, hey, can I make a game out of your thing? So he said, yeah.
Sure.
So that's how it like, so really
it's that's
so
awesome though, right? It shows how it works, right? How the video game industry.
You just know people, and then I've known you for years. We did the, you know, the showcase at E3, which is really cool. And that's just how things work. But what also how it worked was in at Double Fine, I met the COO of Double Fine, which is Justin.
Sure.
And Justin was starting this company called Fig. And so it was really good, really interesting thing where they took investment and, you know, pledges.
Sure.
And
that was the whole point of it, right? Where Kickstarter, you're just giving someone or Patreon, give somebody the money, they do it and they build a business. Whereas Fig lets you, if you get to a certain level, right, become an investor where you start getting percentage points.
Yeah, exactly. So you can pledge just for rewards or you could pledge as an investor.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we were kind of like an early on project.
Sure.
And so it wasn't fully developed at that time. So we weren't able to collect all of the funding that we needed.
So you did the Fig for Chronic
Blunt Punch. That because we wanted to kind of do it on our own without a publisher at that point.
Yeah.
And so
you just took the money and ran. You said, exactly, give me all your money. You fans were ripping you off.
Yeah. We worked really, really diligently, very hard on the project.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, everything looks just really amazing, and we take pride in the gameplay and the mechanics and like the artwork. Like I said, it's all starts off hand drawn from, you know, that kind of art.
Yeah, totally.
Like pen and paper for
which
real.
Takes time.
It takes a lot of time and a lot of effort. And and so like during that time, it was just a little bit difficult because we weren't able to collect on those investment funds. So we were like, after that, I mean, Fig was cool because they actually funded out of pocket as much as they could of that. And then we are just bootstrapping from then on. So like folks don't really quite grasp that as we're, you know, developing. They're like, what the fuck is it taking so long? What's happening? Like, yeah. This game ain't ever coming out, but we...
It is coming out eventually, right?
Yeah, hell yeah. Like, we're constantly posting, too. Every week, we have an update of the animation and, like, what where the design is going, and then we do bi-monthly updates for our backers and that kind of thing. But, like, so we have these opportunities, and Mall Brawl will be another opportunity for folks to jump in.
Because this is what you're talking about with the Bloodstained allegory, right? Or comparison,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Of like Ritual of the Night took so long, eventually Inti Creates came in and was like, here's this other Bloodstained game.
So it's kind of, yeah, it's exactly that. Bloodstained was, I think their Kickstarter was 2015.
Right.
And
yeah.
Now they're releasing 2019. And they raised a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
We raised like a small fraction of that money, and we're still grinding on it. So it just kind of goes to show, and hopefully, like, fans will love this, our updates, and like the thing that we have, the Mall Brawl that we're going to be announcing, and what we're going to be doing next week.
Yeah, you know, I'm a huge Kevin Smith fan, Viewskew fan. Obviously, grew up that way. So obviously, when you guys announced Jay and Silent Bob Chronic Blunt Punch, I was like, all right, cool, that sounds awesome. Seeing this, like, clearly NES 8-bit inspired, right, thing of them walking through the Eden Prairie Mall beating up these, you know what I mean, like, fighting Mubi there, right? Like, you can already see where it's going to go in terms of,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
Hey, all the classic Kevin Smith stuff, USQ stuff, we're gonna be there, better be a quick stop, better be some fighting, you know what I mean, like,
so we'll, like, just to show you, like, so Chronic Blunt Punch is basically contemporary,
sure,
and this other Mall Brawl is gonna be going back.
See, that's what I like,
and
that's
what
I'm all about,
you know what I mean. It'll have a lot of referential treatment, you know, as far as like going back to the old movies and stuff like that. I mean that's why we're doing this. Like, I love Kevin's movies, I love the cast, and like when we started in San Diego, I was grinding out of my apartment starting the business, and we were just doing the mobile games or whatever.
Sure.
I was sleeping on the floor and shit, and I remember we were going through a really rough time, and I would watch Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back like every day when I was like down. I would,
hell yeah.
So like all hell those things, I would watch those movies, and then it would just kind of give me an upper, what the fuck,
like, I got such a high off of it,
opioids and stuff. No, but it would just like boost me up. So those really resonated with
me. Sure, they mean something, yeah.
And also like the whole indie factor of like, we're doing this because we love it, and we're doing this, like, you know, from our heart.
100%. Yeah. Before we get, of course, into the news of the day, I do have one question from patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where Magnus Aplin wrote in and said, hey there, I was wondering if Jay and Silent Bob Chronic Blunt Punch will make its way to the Nintendo Switch, parentheses, and that the fig backers could change their PC code for this. P.S. A view askew and review would be nice. Thanks for the content.
Magnus. Yes, I'm not like looking at the ground and shit.
It's so hard to see you, like the confidence monitor is down there. Yeah.
Yo, Magnus. So for sure, we're working on our Nintendo. We'll be having dev kits for Nintendo
Perfect.
Switch, so we will be releasing on that. I'll say that now.
Okay.
I don't know how everything will work as far as like trading that in, just because like the logistics of that. But we will have like you could upgrade your pledge and those kind of things, and we'll be announcing more stuff like that. Of that nature next week as well.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay, cool. So next week's a big update on everything.
Yeah.
Big update on everything. Cool. You gonna give the release date for Chronic Blunt Punch?
Then? Not yet.
What are you targeting? Is it when it's done situation?
At this point, I will just say this: we are going to be opening up a Slacker backer, you know, which is like. Anyone who missed the original campaign,
because
we never did that at all.
Oh, okay.
We wanted to just make sure that we were moving in the right direction and work with what we have. So we will be doing that next week.
Okay.
And when we have that, we'll have, you know, we're trying to figure out like how this is going to move forward.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because like I said, we're bootstrapping at this point. So we need to figure out like, it just takes a little bit longer.
Okay.
When you don't have like a huge publisher and that kind of thing.
Yeah, when you have to do it all yourself, sure.
Yeah.
Fewer resources. I understand that well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Independent.
True.
Yeah, exactly. Mall Brawl, more information next week. Comic-Con's next week. That's interesting.
That's going to be fun.
Huh. Yeah. But ladies and gentlemen, let's talk about other stuff like what's going on with VR in the future, Splatoon being sunsetted in the Fortnite numbers, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, you can be part of the show, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, with your questions, comments, concerns, and everything else under the video game sun. Then tune in to watch us record it live if everything works on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Colton Yoder, Blackjack, Mohammed Mohammed. Today we're brought to you by Hims, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Four items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
I guess five if you count the fact there's a news story that Kevin doesn't know how to use email. Number one. A Facebook exec says you ain't seen nothing yet when it comes to VR. This is David Deeney over at Upload VR. Head of VR and AR design at Facebook, John Lack, stated on Twitter that Oculus Quest is, quote, the end of our first chapter of VR, and that, quote, what's next is where things get really interesting. The full tweet reads like this from John Lack again. I appreciate Fred Wilson's measured take on building technology over the long haul. Quest is the end of our first chapter of VR. What's next is where things get really interesting. Lax's tweet was liked by two other high-level Facebook execs, Andrew Bosworth, the VP of AR and VR, and Maria Fernandez Gujardo, head of enterprise AR-VR. Facebook considers the Quest, Go, Rift, and Rift S to all be first-generation VR headsets. The recently released Quest is not considered to be a new generation. Rather, it simply brings the first-generation experience to a standalone factor. The company has regularly showed off glimpses of its research towards next-generation VR. Many of its jobs listings reference working on our next-generation consumer product platforms that will provide breakthrough simulated reality user experiences. Justin, what is the current read? You're out there. You're a developer yourself. You're running the mix. You're out there pressing flesh, talking all these devs. Pressing flesh, yeah, you know.
Okay.
Handshakes.
Oh, that, yeah, that sounds
maybe
extra,
some hugs,
dirty.
Shirtless hugs. You know, hold on, I'm still in the press and flesh part. Don't rush me to the babies yet. What is the temperature right now in VR?
I think it's hot right now. I think I mean, it's a weird space to be in if you're a developer, because with VR there's not a huge audience as far as making money.
Yeah.
You know, like just straight. And I think that's why you don't see AAA companies going in and making these amazing, you know,
comparatively, right? Such a small user base compared to a PlayStation 4 or PC.
So how it helps developers in the space is that, like, they're looking for, you know, Oculus is and Vive and all these companies, Samsung, they're looking for really cool content.
Yeah.
So they're willing to shell out a bunch of money to the developers, which will help them get to their next project or have something in the pipeline so they could keep eating. And, and they're also, you know, making really cool content, really cool games, and also helping to build their experience as well. So it is very helpful within what is it called? Like, just in the industry in general.
Yeah,
in the
communities or smaller developers, right? Yeah,
exactly. And so I think with the Go, I have Oculus Go. You know what I'm saying? And like Oculus Go I think it's great. Like, it's one of those, like, let me show it to my uncle, let me show it to my, you know, my mom or, you know, my girlfriend or whatnot. Check out this VR experience.
Right.
Check out Jurassic Park. Check out this porn or something like that. You know, snuck that shit in there. I mean, that is definitely, I mean,
that'll be something that moves it forward for
the
sure.
The Go is, like, definitely a porn machine. But, like, if you look at the Quest, it the capacity for what it could do,
yeah,
it's not as, you know, it's not as powerful as the Vive or the Oculus.
But like, does it matter, right? We always talk about it on this show, and like it is good enough.
It's
PlayStation
good enough.
VR was successful because it was good enough,
yeah,
and not expensive. The Quest is the one where I put it on, and I know the Rift S or whatever, or the Rift R or whatever the hell is going to be, like, it's going to be amazing and way more blah blah blah. But like, having that Quest on, having nothing tethering me,
tethers, yeah, and it's like so fucking light,
yeah,
and
yeah, totally.
Just going around and having that experience that's real crisp,
yeah,
it's like the right direction,
yeah.
And people are like, when they try that, oh, they're like, oh shit, this is real, this is a good experience
for sure. Like, I do a lot of stuff with PlayStation VR because that's my, you know, consoles is what I know and what I love. And so I've always used Quest or used a Vive in, you know, streams or demos and stuff. I'm like, all right, it's cool. Not cool enough that I would ever like want this at home. When we did, when I did Quest the first time at GDC, right before I came to the mix, I left there like I had seen God, where I was like, I want this. I need this, right? As soon as they got review units and I got it and I brought it home, I was telling Jen about it and making her try it. And it's like, you see that over and over again now with people getting it. And like on the subreddit every day, it seems like more and more people are jumping in with Quest and showing their spaces and just the ability to play anywhere and draw the boundaries anywhere. And I, you know, our friend Job, who worked at Telltale, you probably like the his Instagram is full of him playing Quest on beaches and out in these like giant parks and like Vader Immortal and Beat Saber and all these amazing games that are happening. It's like for them to say publicly that that's the end of Wave One, I hadn't even thought about it in terms of like how we talk about the ongoing VR technology and how fast it's going, but for them to be like no that's still Gen One, like wait till you see what you're about to get, like fuck yeah, I can't wait to see.
I believe them when they say that. And I think there's a lot of people who, you know, are doubting where things are going. But I think that they're exactly, they hit the nail on the head.
Do you think it ever gets mainstream enough where people are making money on it?
When they have the, like, my whole thing is you have to combine AR and VR together and be able to flip the switch.
Sure.
And when they have that, it's just going to be totally mainstream.
Yeah.
When it's like on some like Black Mirror shit. Yeah. You know what I mean? But yeah, when you have just glasses or small frames or something, and it's getting there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, that was always my thing. When Google Glass got announced, I was like, that sounds awesome. And then when I saw people with Google Glass, I was like, not in your fucking life.
No.
But I'm glad you're supporting it so that in 20 years, I can have a regular pair of glasses that look like this, but I charge at night and do have all the hoods up display I want.
Yeah, it's going to be Minority Report or Far From Home when
Karen.
Yeah, when you had Karen. It's going to be there, I think. And that's where it's going to, I think it'll be there before we get to the point where it's that small.
Yeah.
It just needs to be a little bit tighter, and then you need to be able to flip, you know, be able to see reality and then off.
Sure.
Even
with Quest, right? Like, that's one of the most exciting things I have people do with it is, okay, cool, draw the boundary. And when you click it over and you can see the room,
so cool,
right? And granted, it's black and white like Predator vision, but it's like, even what you're talking about, I think one of the problems with VR is being isolated. So when honey, and you go, oh, dink, what? And you look over and you can see them and it's not like you're just in another world. Like, I sat next to Jen and played Astrobot this weekend.
Oh, nice.
Or this week. And so I'm just sitting there with my VR headset on, one earbud out, so I can have a vague conversation with her.
Yeah.
Listen to Stranger Things.
Like, that's hilarious. Yo, I think the thing is that's the issue is that when you're playing Mario Odyssey or whatever, like even if it's a one player game, it doesn't matter. Your significant other, your friends could watch you play and they're entertained by you fucking up or like whatever.
Totally.
But when you're isolated, you don't get to share that experience because you kind of want to show off, right?
Yeah.
And they don't get to share that experience with you
unless
you have this like crazy display.
I can't imagine doing VR and having kids, right? Because I'll sit there with VR and punch Porty by accident, my dog, right? Like, just think about what if the kid comes out and needs something, gets booted in the face, you know what I mean? Like, I can't deal with it.
Or they'll be fucking with you while you're
exactly. Well, that's for sure gonna happen. I think we all know that. Barrett?
Sup?
I need a progress report. How are we doing on microphone? Justin leaning too far back, staying in the right range? Everything good?
When he leans back, he comes back in.
Okay, cool. Just making sure. We're just giving you a progress report, all right? Don't worry about it. Number two, the Fortnite streaming numbers are dropping. This is Brendan Sinclair over at GamesIndustry.biz. Stream Elements' latest quarterly State of the Stream report shows declining streaming viewership across the industry's biggest Battle Royale games. The report, released by the streamer production platform in conjunction with Twitch stats / analytics site Sully Gnome, show declines from April through June for hours watched of Fortnite, Apex Legends, and PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds across streaming platforms Twitch, YouTube Live, Facebook Gaming, and Mixer. Fortnite's hours watched were down 3.66% to just over 300 million hours watched. It was the fourth consecutive quarter of declines for the game, even though it remains the most watched game on streaming platforms. Fortnite has more than doubled the hours watched of any game outside of the top four, and the gap between it and League of Legends, parentheses, the next most watched game, actually increased this quarter because of Riot's hit saw a larger decline in viewership. EA's Apex Legends saw the most precipitous drop of any game in the second quarter, going from third place to almost 183 million hours watched in Q1 to out of the top 10 entirely, parentheses, less than 65.4 million hours watched in Q2. The last Battle Royale game in the top 10, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, also saw declines quarter over quarter, dropping 4.3% to 65.4 million hours watched and sliding from 9th place to 10th. Where is Super Combo Man in the most streamed hours?
It's like 0.001%, you know what I mean? But we'll get up there. I think this is interesting, though. I think it has 2 years left.
Battle Royale?
Fortnite.
Oh, okay, okay.
I think it's like around 2 years before it declines, and I think that's why.
What do you think happens in 2 years? Like,
they're going to have to graduate to something else. My whole thing is I feel that the kid, it's generational.
Sure.
So Minecraft kids were jumping into Fortnite because they wanted to play, you know, they wanted to play a battle royale. Yeah, they wanted to shoot shit and build shit at the same time. And they graduated from the blocky, you know, interface and that kind of thing. And then they're going to graduate. But then also people are going to get tired, obviously. I mean, like, just people get tired of the same thing. And that is why I feel Epic is snapping up all these studios and stuff. They got to get ready for the next shit, right?
Right. Like, yeah. No, that is right. Future proofing. They understand that right now they're making money hand over fist with Fortnite, but that can't last forever. So yeah, no. Let's take that money, turn it around, and build it into a business platform.
Yeah, and then have more games that have that same integrity.
Right.
You know,
when you are making games and you're, you know, an indie developer and you're part of the industry, how much attention are you paying to trends like this and what you've seen with not only streaming, but then also obviously Battle Royale and stuff?
I mean, I'm paying close attention to all this stuff. I need, number one, because I have to have my ear to the street because of the Media Indie Exchange,
sure.
Right? And I want to see what trends are, you know, are moving forward. And also I'm working with a lot of the platform holders themselves,
yeah.
You know, because they're sponsors and stuff. But as a developer, I'm paying close attention to see what may be next. But since, you know, I mean, indie developers are very agile in being able to make something quick, but at the same time, we can't compete on the level that these guys, like Fortnite pivoted, right?
Yeah.
Big time. Like,
oh, yeah.
It was a completely different, obviously, everyone knows that. It's a totally different game. So they already had all the tech there to make this thing, this amazing thing move to where things were going, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what's interesting with indie developers is indie developers will have this cool idea that maybe 5 or 6 years out, because they don't have the resources to make that happen. And then it takes them 8 years. And by that time, they're not on the leading edge.
Yeah.
So what I've seen that works a lot, you know, more properly is like understanding, like surveying what's happening, seeing what's next, and then figuring out what we can build within 2 years or 3 years that may not have the fidelity of something crazy like Fortnite or you know, Battlegrounds or whatever it is, the next big thing.
But be part of that wave, right? Of like
Or be ahead of the curve, and then maybe you get snapped up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you're saying, Beat Saber. Now there's like 1,000, you know, clones and shit like that, right?
Yeah.
But I definitely think, what's happening is I'm interested to see what the next wave of.
I can only imagine. I hate that question. People always write in like, "What's gonna happen in 5 years?" Like,
you don't even know. Yeah. What, like, started with DayZ, right? Like.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong. I want to say right, but that was that DayZ was the Arma 2.
Yeah.
Mod, right? Yeah, that got it all going. Yeah, and then Rust was in there too. Like, there were so many different weird things that,
and then it just evolved into this thing. And but that was like 6 years ago, right?
Yeah, I remember Mitch Dyer at IGN playing Rust and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I remember the first time I walked by fucking Charles on Yet Desk at IGN, and I was like, "What is this?" And he's like, "It's a thing called Minecraft." I'm like, "This looks like garbage."
I felt the same. I was like, "What is this shit?" It's like, it looks so jank. You know what I mean? But it was like, okay, phenomenon. You know.
You mentioned it when we were talking about Epic looking at the next thing and how they're snatching up games and doing this exclusive stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you, and what's the thermometer from indie devs on what's going on with Epic Game Store versus Steam versus this? Like, it seems like there's a lot of money getting thrown around. That's great.
I think it's really interesting. Right now, developers have to diversify.
Yeah.
It's just you have to do it. So, like, because of, like, Steam is very complicated. It's very complicated to sell stuff there. The visibility's not there. You know,
too much, right? There's just a million things.
There's too much shit there. And then like the curation is kind of odd right now. That's changing. But I think what's interesting, and also there's a shift in the major console platforms. They're getting ready for the next generation. Yeah. That's obvious. So yeah. That they're going to probably be making their announcements next year, right? So what happens at the beginning of those is a lot of money is thrown around to get content because the AAA content
won't be ready.
It won't be ready. Yeah. So they need a lot of indie content. So developers know that. And they're trying to figure out, okay, so if Epic gives you $1 million or $2 million or something like that, and that will cover what you may get on these other platforms, it's worth the exclusivity deal. So they're always, devs are always looking for that, right?
Yeah.
Looking for those type of, just like the Oculus deal, any type of new platform that comes up, they're going to be tossing around money because they're trying to get content on their platform to kind of build it out, you know, for their investors or whoever.
Do you think there's a disconnect between gamers, and I know it's such a general mainstream, whatever, a swatch of thing, but at least some gamers and the realities of being an indie dev? Because it seems like, hey, I signed this deal with Epic. You're a fucking sellout. Why would you do? Like, I don't want to. You hear the thing of like, don't get me wrong, worked out really well for MDHR, right? Well, we mortgaged our house to make this game happen. Great. Doesn't work out for everybody.
No. I mean, I would say 90% that shit does not work out. Yeah. They don't have a house. Yeah. And I think it's the people do not understand. I think people are getting smarter to understanding that because they are interested in like what's happening behind the scenes, and like there's more visibility behind the scenes and transparency. But yeah, I think, I mean, even with our, like, I'm just going to use our circumstances, for instance, like with our Fig campaign, like it shows that we made like $447,000, but like how much did we actually receive? Right? Right. The people don't understand that. And they're like, where the fuck is it at? You know, like, well, you have all this money. Did you just spend it? No, it's like we didn't necessarily get all that. And we're trying to explain that. But they don't understand, like, what it costs to develop, you know, like those kind of things. Yeah. And then when you have something where, like, say a developer made three previous games and then this one is better and you get attention from, you know, Epic or whatever, and they're going to give you $1 million or $500,000 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And you can feed your team, you're going to take that, you know what I mean?
Because keep the studio going, right?
Keep the studio going because it's a marathon. It's not, you know what I mean? You're not doing this one, you know, I mean, you're going one game at a time, but
you're not one and done. You're not, we made our game, guys, shut down everything.
Yeah. So like with our studio, it's like, I know we released one game, we released Super Combo Man, didn't do super well. We're going to be releasing Jay and Silent Bob. That's not where it stops.
Yeah.
So if I could find different, you know, things to help us get to that point, then we're going to be partnering with people. And if you think it's selling out, then you don't understand that, you know, we're people, or these developers are people, and they need to live. We're not bankrolled like EA or whatnot. Sure. You know what I'm saying? And I think the hope is sometimes like Double Fine just got, you know, snapped up, right? Like
fucking Tim Schafer. Sell out.
That's hilarious. But I mean, I feel that they needed that support. Like, you know, creatives need that financial support at times, and that you can't say they're selling out if they can still make their dream possible with their creativity, with help, and then also support others in the creative space as well.
And there's also the argument too of like, right, and I think, you know, I don't think it works here because we're just a bunch of clowns, but like I talk about it at IGN, right, of doing so well at my job at IGN that I got promoted to being a manager, which I was not good at and didn't really want to do, right? Like, I imagine inside of Double Fine, to some extent, that's Tim, even though I'm sure he's not, like, managing the books. But in terms of, like, cool, you're in charge of this studio, and now you have to worry about all this and all these people. Like, sure, bring in Microsoft, have them buy you, and then they take over all that bullshit work, right, and put it over here, and you can get back to doing the things you really want to do inside your studio.
Yeah. I think that happens quite a bit. Like, people want, like, they blow up and they want someone else to handle.
Sure.
And I'm not going to say it's like necessarily Double Fine, but I think that some other, you know, smaller indies fucking blow up and it's like three guys and they're like, oh shit, look at all this stuff we have to do. I don't want to deal with this. So, like, yeah, we'll let you handle it as long as we get a cut.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think those are great opportunities.
Number three on the Roper Report. Ubisoft is banning the XP XP farming Assassin's Creed Odyssey missions. This is James Batchelor at GamesIndustry.biz. Ubisoft has forbidden players from using a new mission-making tool to rapidly level up characters in Assassin's Creed Odyssey. The story creator mode was quietly announced during the pre-show stream for the publisher's E3 2019 press conference and released shortly after. It enables players to create their own quests in Assassin's Creed Odyssey and share them with other players. Inevitably, some players have been using this to exploit the game's leveling system, creating easy quests that yield significant amounts of XP. But Ubisoft has now banned the tools users from making... Let me try that again. Has now banned the tools users... From no, something's missing there. The tools users from making the XP farming quests. It's not me. In a post on the publisher's official forums, the Assassin's Creed team said it is changing the terms of use to prevent such quests from being published and is working on a way to ensure those that exist do not appear in any recommendation system. Users who, quote, continue to willingly and intentionally misuse the tool will be sanctioned. The team claims that this is to maintain the creative integrity of the original intent of the tool, saying, quote, these exploits risk jeopardizing the overall quality, integrity, and purpose of Story Creator and results in less visibility for the creative, interesting, and frankly fantastic community stories that have been published. We want to focus on rewarding creativity by highlighting quality quests, and we are working on fixes and adjustments to reduce the impact of such farming quests on the player experience. Back to James. However, it's important to note that Ubisoft offers its own solution for accelerating your progress in the form of permanent XP boosters. These are sold in the in-game store alongside a number of other microtransactions that give players an advantage, such as extra currency and stronger weapons. Come on.
Don't give a shit about Assassin's Creed.
What? Odyssey's great. Odyssey is fucking fantastic.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I loved it. I platinum it. I have like 130 hours in. Like it's good. It's great. Yeah. Big fan of the game.
Well, maybe I'll have to try it. I am not. I'm tired of. I'm sequelitis.
Well, Cassandra. Play as Cassandra. Okay. Give it a shot. If by the time the splash screen happens, you're not into it, which is like an hour and a half, then just bounce. It's done. You did your due diligence. I'll let it go. More though, as an Odyssey fan, like, come on. Like, the one thing I get is when they're talking about these exploits and less visibility for creative, interesting, and frankly fantastic community stories. I get.
So can you explain, you told me a little bit earlier, but,
sure,
I don't really understand, okay, like, all
so
this extra
stuff. At E3, they announced basically, like, you go into the game, you're playing your game, you run over to people, they give you a quest, you run off and get whatever, you kill 30 pigs, you come back, do your thing. They at E3 announced that, hey, you can make your own quests now. So you can write your own dialogue. You can put in your own objectives. You go on your computer. You set it all up. You write the dialogue. If this, then that. You know what I mean? Blah, blah, blah. And then you publish them. And then people can download them and go do them in their game and then get the XP for it.
Oh, I see.
I've been noodling writing one about how much KFAF sucks. And I want to, make fun of Nick and Andy in it. Haven't done it yet, but I will. But it's the idea that, like, I mean, people are making really cool things. That's they're really cool. Interesting things. Okay. You know, oh, go save Socrates. Okay, great. And then there's people who are doing the ones that are like, cool, walk over there and get that thing and bring it back. And now you get a million XP or whatever.
Oh, okay.
And so it's like, first off, to James's not accusation at the end, though. He's like, it's important to point out that Ubisoft... I always thought the double XP, the XP booster thing, totally overblown. I did buy it with Helix credits or whatever, because it takes a while.
What does it do? Okay, so
you get more XP from missions.
But it doesn't affect anyone else's gameplay.
100%, right? Just, if you ask me, the same way these don't affect anybody else's gameplay.
Yeah, so who cares? If you want to cheat?
Yeah.
I mean, remember cheat codes back in the day?
Not to mention that, I think, are we really overlooking the fact that the game's been out for how long? Like, what?
Over a year, right?
No, it was last fall, right? That's right, Barrett?
Yeah, it was almost a year.
October of last year, right? So, I mean, like, half a year, almost a full year. Like, If you're going to hear Assassin's Creed's great, and you pick it up now and go play it, awesome. I think we're down to such a small percentage of people who are going to do this. Like, meanwhile, they keep adding level caps to it. There's no way in the world I'm ever going to play enough more Assassin's Creed to hit the new level cap. So if I really wanted to, why not let me go in there and cheese it out?
Yeah, they should just let you do
there's got to be a way in terms of shareability of, we're still promoting, and this is the thing, you talked about it with Steam, but it's the same thing with PSN, right, for games. It's the same thing with Xbox Live in terms of discoverability. I also can't imagine there's so many quests being uploaded in the Assassin's Creed community right now in Odyssey that it gets such a hot thing that you can't have it be that somebody goes in every day and flags the seven great quests they've seen that they want to put up there.
Yeah, that would be that.
Then
would be
and then there is just like, if you want to search for easy XP, it's there. Like, you gave them the tools, you let them do it. I don't understand the sanctions business you're talking about.
Yeah, I was talking shit, but that's pretty intuitive, that allowing people to create their own.
Yeah,
missions.
No, yeah.
That's really
user generated
cool
content like that, right? Like Infamous
I dig that.
2 did it, right? Yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Infamous 2 had, what do they call it? Kindoffunny.com/wrong. UCG. User generated content. User created. UGC. UGC. User generated content. Where they let you make little missions for coal and stuff like
that's
that.
That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah, it's a cool idea. And I think that, again, what I've always said, even if you don't like Odyssey or Assassin's Creed, period, I appreciate that Ubisoft took their foot off the gas and was like, all right, we're not annualizing it. It's going to be, this game's going to breathe an entire year
on
its own.
That's what they said.
Yeah, so they continue to support it with DLC. They're still doing the Atlantis DLC. They're putting this in there. They do like monthly drops of new things and quests.
I like how these teams are lengthening.
Yeah, totally right.
And like, over a year, because it's like, I mean, yeah.
Odyssey is such an amazing world that they made for ancient Greece that, yeah, I will eventually go back to it. Even, I'm not somebody who sits there and goes, man, I need to get more XP and so I'm going to grind out these stupid missions. But in the same breath, like, the game already, I feel, is pretty easy when I'm max level and I have my poison damage is off the charts and stuff. Like, just let them be. Let them be, Ubisoft. Barrett.
What's up?
Let them be.
Yeah.
Barrett, I have sad news for you. It's really sad news for Andy, but he's not here, so it's for you. Number four, it's time to say goodbye to Splatoon events.
This
is Kevin at GameSpot.
After
2 years, Splatoon 2's final Splatfest event will take place next week, marking the end of the game's monthly competitions. Because it commemorate. I'm out of water, so I can't drink. To commemorate the occasion, Nintendo is hosting Splatoon-themed events in two first-party Switch games this weekend. First, in Tetris 99's 5th Maximus Cup, which runs from now until July 15th, we're going to say. Like previous Maximus Cups, the event is points-based. You'll earn a certain number of points, depending on what number you place in the round, and if you manage to rack up at least 100 points before the event ends, you'll unlock a cool Splatoon 2 theme for the game. You can see the theme in the video on GameSpot. In addition to Tetris 99, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate is holding a Splatoon-themed Spirit Board event this weekend, which likewise runs from July 12th through the 15th. Throughout the event, various characters from the Splatoon series will appear on the Spirits Board every hour, including the Legend-class Squid Sisters. Wow. You'll also earn twice as many Spirit Points each time you battle one of these characters during the event. Splatoon 2's Final Splatfest kicks off July 18th and runs for an extended 72 hours, concluding on July 21st. The theme this time is apocalyptic one, asking players to choose whether they'd like the world to be ruled by order or chaos. What a note to go out on.
Wow.
During the first 48 hours of the event, all 23 Shifty Station stages from previous Splatfest will return to the rotation, while a brand new Shifty Station featuring appearances by Pearl and Marina will be featured the final 24 hours. Following the final Splatfest, Splatoon 2 will receive one more content update. Patch 5.0 will arrive in late July and add Splatfest Turf War option to private battles. This mode will let you play on any of the stage's 24 Shifty Station maps and transform other stages into their nighttime versions, just as they appeared during Splatfests. Rest in peace, Splatoon 2. Really? 2 years, though. That was a good run for like a Nintendo support.
What do you think about Nintendo's venture into esports? I think it's pretty cool what they're doing.
It's cool, but it's still just Nintendo being Nintendo, right? Where they're just marching their own beat, doing their own thing.
Yeah.
Like, here's how we're going to do it. Like, their support of the Smash community has been great. The Splatoon support's been great. Like, it's cool to see them out there doing it. I think 2 years of support's been well enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Andy doesn't play it anymore, and he dressed up as one of these ink kids for fucking
really
Halloween.
Fucking
nerd. What a dork. Inkling Andy. Get out of
here.
That's hilarious.
You think they're gearing up towards another one? Another Splatoon?
Oh, they'll make another Splatoon, I think, yeah.
And then they're going to ramp it up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be another probably 2 years maybe before we get a E3 tease of it or a logo.
Yeah, that's
true. Whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Splatoon Switch 3. Micro or some
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, exactly. Splatoon 3 is coming, Justin, but it's so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grop shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Out today, Dragon Quest Builders 2 on PS4 and Switch. Lethal League Blaze, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch. Agelios, PS4 and Xbox One. God Eater 3 on Switch. Streets of Rogue on Xbox One. That's got to be illegal. As, you know what I mean? Like, it was namage pretty much. 1,000 Money Sign at the End, PC. Polymole, PC and Mac. Neon Slashers on PC. Royal Life, Hard to Be Queen on PC. All Oof, right. man. Clear. Download TurboTax and Royal Life, Hard to Be Queen. You got yourself a weekend on PC. Spy Tactics, PC and Mac. Isotiles 2 on PC and Mac. Super Mutant Alien Assault on Switch. Mad Bullets on Switch. Distrust on Switch. New dates for you? A new generation of Call of Duty multiplayer is coming. Mark your calendars for Thursday, August 1st, when Activision and Infinity Ward will reveal the multiplayer universe of Call of Duty Modern Warfare. Then, Pokemon Go. This is from GameSpot, an update for you. Like Pokemon Go's monthly community day events, the NT Raid Day will be held around the world, but it will only run for 3 hours from 4 to 7 p.m. local time during... Ah, crap. Sunday. It's Sunday. What's the date on Sunday? I remember this already.
So today's the 12th, 14th.
Okay. So it'll run from 4 to 7 p.m. local time on Sunday the 14th. During that window, you'll be able to encounter Entei in 5-star raids. Once the event ends, however, Entei will leave Pokemon Go once again. So you only have a couple of hours to battle and catch some before the legendary departs.
We both fucked up. It's Entei.
Entei?
Yeah. It's been, I think this is Gen 3, and I'm my knowledge of Gen 3 is just so very loose.
You're a fake Pokemon fan.
Just
admit it.
All right.
Thank you. I'm going to be out there on Sunday 4 to 7, me and Jen catching this thing. What is it? I don't know. But
name
I'm find
one
it.
Other Pokemon besides Porygon.
Hold on.
Yeah, fuck
Mankey.
Off.
Mankey.
Okay.
There you go. All right.
Pikachu. Okay.
Charizard.
What does Pikachu evolve into?
I'm never going to evolve my Pikachu, so I don't want to know. He's too
God
cute.
Damn it.
Here's the other thing.
Wait,
you should just know that.
A week ago, I started playing Pokemon Go really hard with my wife.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
We were walking and talking about it was very newsy. It was like, oh man, can you believe how good Pokemon Go is in terms of being here 3 years later and all the support?
Yeah.
And while I was talking about it, I busted out and started doing it. And then she busted hers out and started doing it. And then we started playing. And now here we are a week later. We wake up in the morning and walk around and get a cup of coffee and walk around the town
really?
Playing. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's just a fun, stupid thing to do.
All right. I fucked up again. The chat's yelling at me. It's Gen 2. Fuck off.
Oh my God. What a fake Pokemon fan over there.
You didn't even know how to say his
is
name
that in
the
chats?
First
are people
place.
Talking shit in the chats?
Oh, yeah. Okay. We don't look at it. He only sees the chat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
This is a polished news show. That's why only You're Wrong pops up here. And then, a whole bunch of people are yelling at you when you're wrong.
Yep.
Shout out to Ill Grill Chill, who's all over it.
That's a dope name. Yeah. Ill Grill Chill.
Exactly.
The Pokemon fan.
I tell you what, Barry, you've embarrassed me for the last time. Final new date for you is Minecraft Earth Closed Beta. Invites are going out in the next 2 weeks. You can go sign up right now for at earth.minecraft.net. That's for the Minecraft Earth AR phone game. They're all over the place.
They're doing that.
Stop making all these real games. Just make AR mobile games. You make $1 million, apparently. It's time for reader mail, but first I'm going to tell you about our sponsor. It's Hims. You've heard us talking about Hims and how they're helping guys look their best, and if you haven't, it's time to see what they're all about. Nick and Andy use Hims because they noticed their hair was thinning, and so they went to 4hims.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness, and more for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims is helping guys be the best version of themselves with licensed physicians and FDA approved products to help treat hair loss. Hims was created by a guy that knows some men's health conversations are easier online than in person. What I hate about that is right there, that was my best read of it, and that it's the final time I'll do it this week. God, I hate it when it takes me long to get. No more awkward in-person doctor visits or long pharmacy lines. 4hims connects you with real doctors online, which can save you hours completely confidentially and discreetly. Answer a few quick questions, a doctor will review it, and if they determine it's right for you, they can prescribe your medication to treat hair loss that is shipped directly to your door. Order now. My listeners can get started with the Hims Complete Hair Kit for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last and subject to a doctor's approval. See the website for full details and safety information. This could cost hundreds if you went to a doctor or a pharmacy or somewhere else. Go to 4hims.com/gamesdaily. That's forhims.com/gamesdaily. 4hims.com/gamesdaily.
Daily.
Justin, where do I want to take you? What do I want to... Oh, here we go. We'll start with Fendi. Fendi writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can. It says, hey guys, every summer there's a period of time where almost no games drop, and it looks like that's what we're in the middle of right now. I finally found the time to dig into my backlog and start Persona 5. My question is, what are some of the games in your backlog that you're planning on playing? Just, do you ever have time to go to your backlog anymore? I don't buy this.
I buy so many fucking games, and they're not opened. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's bad.
Like the amount of games I have
in the wrap on the shelf.
In the wrap, stacked up. Like I went back. This is nuts. Metal Gear Solid 5.
Yeah. Oh my God. Really?
So far back, and I started playing. I was like, oh my God, this game is amazing. And I'm telling everybody I'm playing. It's like, yo,
where you been?
Yeah. Latest shit.
Look at me. I'm playing Pokemon Go and acting like I'm breaking news over here.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you one though. Mario Maker 2.
Yeah.
I just got that last week, and I can't wait to fuck around with that.
That's my thing. I think it's slower than it often is, but it's still going. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Mario Maker 2 just came out, right?
Yep.
Ultimate Alliance 3 is next week. Like, there's games to play.
I'm looking forward to that, yeah.
Right? Like, I remember in the old days, when I started at IGN, the story always is, like, it used to be the real dead times, where it was, like, you got to fall, and that's when things kicked off. And I remember moving here and having just my Wii and sitting in the spare room I was renting from Micah playing Paper Mario on the Wii, whichever one that was, I can't remember, and being like, nowadays, that would never happen. Because I was like, I got nothing else to play. This seems interesting. And I enjoyed it fine. I didn't love it or anything. I can't even remember the full name of the game. But I remember playing it because I was like, I got to play something. There's actually nothing to play. Whereas now it's like every day there's 900 games we read on here.
Yeah, yeah. My Friend Pedro.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah. Well, see,
I'm late, but like,
I played it at GDC and I was like, I don't know. And then Barrett played and he didn't like it. And I was like, well, then not even going to worry about it.
Yeah. Unfortunate.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to think of anything else that, I mean, that's like,
I just look forward, or then somebody tells me about a game like Moonlighter that's from last year, and I'm like, oh, that's great. And I play that nonstop
that's
like an idiot.
That's awesome. Yeah, I haven't played Bloodstained.
I jumped in and tasted it. I know Andy's been playing a lot of it. Yeah
I want to jump in and play that.
One I'll put on your radar is Katana Zero.
Oh, yeah. Have you not played Katana Zero?
I know. Yeah. I played it back in the day when they were at Adult Swim Games.
Yeah.
And then now they're at Devolver. That game's fucking badass.
Game's awesome.
Yeah, that game is sick. I gotta jump on
but
that.
But even like this is what we're talking about. The backlog we're talking about is from 2 months ago. Where he's reaching a Persona 5 at least. I'm like, that shit's gone. But that's so far gone now in the tank.
There's so much stuff coming out.
Yeah.
It's just, that's rough. And I don't have a lot. Like, you know what I mean? I don't have tons of time.
Yeah, you're making the games and then making the mix happen. You got things going on. Here comes a question from the nanobiologist. Again, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, and I want your take on it, Justin. So Google is putting their AI against StarCraft 2 players soon for some test matches, and it reminded me of EA's plan to add AI to their multiplayer games. If Google's AI does well and makes smart plays slash passes the Turing test, do you think this will become a new feature of Stadia? As in, developers can choose to add Google's AI to their games to make matchmaking more full slash compelling to people. Or will Google possibly have it added to more than just Stadia and make EA's dream more of a reality?
I think it's an interesting concept.
Yeah.
But I think that when... So are they like saying that they would have bots, like AI bots that you would play against as opposed to players, and then they would basically say that they're players?
I don't think they'd say they're players. I think one of their selling points is our AI is so good and is so fine-tuned that it can beat real players and make smart calls.
I think what would be really fucking cool if they utilize it this way, like they have the AI, you play it on Stadia, right? You play it through Stadia. And what Stadia is basically promising is you can go back and take snapshots, go back and play those experiences review it.
Then
there's like a tutorial or a strategy placed upon that.
Shit, that'd be awesome.
That would be fucking cool. Like you're there, you play against the bot, and then when you lose or you make a wrong move or whatever, since it has AI knowing what's happening, what the best possible move is, it'll like have an overlay after your match and tell you how to beat that opponent because they already have recorded everything.
See, that would be
point.
So much more helpful than how games usually do stuff like that. I always think of Madden, where like every time Madden gets more and more complex and I play it and I'd run the tutorial and it's like, all right, well, if you see the defensive end lift his leg like this, I mean, and I forget all of that, right?
Yeah.
Whereas it's a boring, very specific situation that, you know, 2 hours later when I'm in the middle of the game, I don't remember. Where it would be awesome, right, if after the fact, or even after the play, like they do in real football, you were looking at film and things were getting circled. Like,
exactly.
That's what you need to pay attention to.
I mean, they have heat maps and all that stuff already.
Yeah.
Like, where you traveled, where's the best routes, like that type of stuff. If they utilize it like that, it would not only like make it more engaging for the player, but also make competition a lot better for player versus player.
Hell yeah. Huh. See, that was a great answer. You just fucking knocked it out of the park. That's why we should have developers on this show more. You know what I mean? We're out here acting like morons. We don't know. Do you believe in Stadia? Do you believe in streaming?
I know people hate on Stadia so hard,
yeah.
But I think like that snapshot thing and like imagine if you're playing a game, right?
Yeah.
And you're like against a boss or you're in this particular situation and then you could share it with your audience, that snapshot.
Yeah, yeah.
Or as a strategy, look how I beat this boss in what is that game called?
Sekiro?
Yes, exactly. I didn't get hit once and you're doing all this crazy shit and then you put that person in that situation.
Oh.
You know, or you put them in that situation just as an observer.
Yeah.
To see how you did
it. Spin it and they can do whatever they want with it.
Yeah, that is such a cool like tool for like people
to
play around with, because a lot of people don't really have the Twitch Twitch muscle fiber, you know what I'm saying? Like they don't have the reaction time.
Sure, they're not a nitro rifle, I understand.
Yeah, so they're like, if they're able to see in real time how that shit worked, you're like, oh wow, that's cool. They'll respect it more. They could do videos and like,
that's really smart.
Yeah, that kind of stuff is really intriguing to me.
Yeah. Do you think the actual streaming part of it's going to work, like in general?
I mean,
is there a future there?
I think I mean, they've been trying it with Gakai and with what is it called? Go I can't remember. Well, on live. Remember these type of things I think that they're going to hit it, but I don't, it's kind of like VR right now. Like how far is it going to, like how much, how many, what is it called? Servers do you have to have?
Yeah. To like, actually make it make sense.
To make it make sense and work. But I saw, one of my friends is a technophile. So he was playing on his like, what is the Google? Chromebook playing Odyssey on like a 50 inch TV. And it was flawless.
Yeah.
Like, and I was like, wow, that's dope. But obviously we're in the Bay, so
obviously
what I'm saying, like it's gonna,
that's
it's
why
gonna
I'm
work.
Excited for it, right? But I also understand that like the internet isn't like that everywhere.
Yeah, if I'm in Ohio like I was last week and I'm trying to do that shit, it's like
Ohio sucks.
No, it's amazing. What are you talking about?
Wait, you're from Cleveland?
Yeah.
Are you are?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm from Columbus.
Different parts. Columbus might be cool. Cleveland sucks.
Why do you like it? You rep it though.
Yeah. 216, what's up?
Okay. Boris in 00 gets the final question of the day and says, good morning, Greg, and special guest. There's been a lot of talk about how a game's DLC comes out too far after the game has come out. And I always felt people were just complaining about nothing. But I will be silent no longer. The Messenger DLC came out yesterday, and not only did it not remember that I beat the game on this save, so I have to do, as the kids would say, get good again and beat the game again, but then in the DLC I hit a brick wall where I feel to win you have to be some sort of godlike command over the controls and mechanics. I get that this is an indie studio, and I'm all for difficult games, but am I crazy to say maybe a DLC should not be the hardest challenge to the game unless it is advertised that way? Or am I just complaining I am not able to rush through this DLC? Parentheses, BTW, the DLC is fantastic, and I am being super nitpicky here. Everyone should go buy The Messenger and play it. Boris in 00.
Boris, shout out to Sabotage.
Right, that was the most, you were all over the map there, Boris. I don't even know where you're, so you love the DLC, but you're mad. And then you're like, also I like his thing here where he's like, it didn't remember I beat it on this save, so I had to get good. Wait a second, like you said you already playing the DLC, so what, you were like, it saved a level before you beat the boss? Like, you're fine, buddy. All right, you calm down. And that's on you, I bet.
And he bought it. Oh, wait, it's free. Yeah, it's free.
But yeah, you have to have a save for the DLC. You have to have a save that's already beaten the game because it's all post-stuff content.
Yeah.
And I've heard great things about it. It seems like everybody loves it.
I love The Messenger.
Like, yeah.
And I love that studio. They work their asses off. Like, I'm confused about the question.
I think the main question is something we've talked about before, and I always use Horizon Zero Dawn as my example. Not in really difficulty, but kind of. I love games, and then DLC will come months later, and you jump in, and you've played 90 games since then, and you're like, wait, what the fuck do I do in this game? Like, you know what I mean? Like, so like Horizon, when they dropped Frozen Wilds for me, it was awesome, and then immediately I was like getting a thunder jaw was like slamming. I'm like, oh fuck, and it was like, you know, 15 minutes of trying to remember how to play and get back to that muscle memory.
That was like Breath of the Wild for
totally,
me.
Totally, right? Yeah, exactly.
How do I cook?
Yeah. So like, there is something to be said for that, and I think that's what Boris is talking about, especially in a game like Messenger, where even before then, right, it was very much inspired by, you know, Ninja Gaiden and Symphony of the Night and stuff like that, of like platforming and using all your different skills and mechanics to get through stuff. I can see where that would be jarring to jump back into that world and have the DLC be super hard.
So he's saying like it came out way too late and it's difficult.
He's saying that the game, he loved the game when it came out, and now he's jumping back into it, and the DLC seems harder than the base game. And so he's getting his ass kicked when it, because he no longer has that muscle memory or the Twitch skills, as you were talking about.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Twitch muscle fibers. Yeah, yeah.
I love that. Twitch muscle fibers you gotta start using.
Yeah. I think the thing is they may not have been aware how difficult it is. Because if you think about it, like this small studio, they're playing the shit out of this game all the time. So they'd be like, oh yeah, you see me do this, all this bullshit? Like, and then when it comes to the public, maybe they tested a certain amount of time and those people are good.
Yeah.
So the general audience, they didn't get that feedback.
Well, there's also, and I mean, you know it, I think, well, too, especially for these retro-inspired games, that I think there is a, yeah, we want it to be hard, right? That seems to be an audience that does crave that. That's what repels me from a lot of games. But, like, so many people do want to be punished.
Yeah, yeah, and I could see that with a messenger. I mean, I played Ninja Gaiden recently again. The OG one. Yeah. And it's
oh, that
like,
game is just like punching the face hard.
Yeah, the enemies are just keep respawning and get the fuck out of here. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't know.
Who wants to play this? But like, even like we just did a party mode that isn't up yet for Mario Maker 2. And it's the same thing of like, oh, my level only has 2 clears and 500 people. I'm like, that's a bad level. And like, but people are like, no, it's the challenge of it, right? Of like, Barrett did Andy's level, right? Of slamming your head into the wall over and over and over and over again until you finally get it. And I don't know why you would do that to yourself, Barrett.
To say to Andy Cortez to his fucking face when he gets home, fuck you. I beat your level. That's why you do it. That's why you do it.
Damn.
Okay. I mean, you don't do that to a developer. If you beat a really hard developer game and you meet them, you say, hey, that was a great game. Yeah. I love it. But if you see Andy Cortez and you beat his level, you say, fuck you, Andy. I beat your level.
Jeez, man. But only like 3 people can say that, so I guess that's the
rule. No, there's been like 70 clears on it now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We were just really bad.
We're just bad at the game. I understand. Yeah, I don't have those skills. Justin, it's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, giving me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Farmer Josh needs help on the PlayStation 4. Farmer Josh's PSN name is The Farmer Josh, all one word. The Farmer Josh says, hey, y'all, I've been playing Dying Light lately, and would love to earn the co-op trophies in order to inch closer to the platinum. I'm hoping to get a crew of 4 people together to play the game for a few hours and earn these trophies. If you want to play Dying Light with The Farmer Josh, hit up The Farmer Josh on PSN, all one word, and get them dang trophies. We ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe. Ilgirlchill says the first battle royale mode for Arma and Minecraft in the first battle royale was mods, I'm sorry, for Arma and Minecraft in the early 2010s. There's also a Japanese mobile game called Bitum Online that was inspired by the Japanese movie Battle Royale in 2016. Lord of Pwn writes in and says, only thing wrong about today's show has been Greg not asking Justin where he got that cool jacket.
I got this cool jacket in Argentina.
Huh.
Damn.
Actually, it was tailored. Ooh. So I did an event at
everybody.
No, so people don't know that Argentina is one of the most, they consume the most cows. They love steak, right? And they have a lot of farms. Yeah. And so, what?
I'm thinking of Brazilian steakhouses. I fucked it up. Sorry, my bad.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's South America. But yeah, they have they export their meat all across South America. So when I was there, I was like, yo, they got cows. They eat a lot of cows. They must have leather. Yeah. And I love leather. So I was like, where can I find a place to get it? A leather jacket, and I found this place, and I was asking people, and this like little hole in the wall shop, like where they were they put together jackets for you.
Nice.
So I went in there, got fitted, and it was like $200.
Yeah, wow. Okay, I was gonna say
which
it's
is
dirt
like,
cheap, right? Because they just have leather
have
on
so
leather
much
on leather,
leather. And like they and I can't speak Spanish worth shit. So it was like a pointing at like Google pick. Yo, I like this. I want this side and then this, but yeah.
That's awesome, dude.
So if anyone goes to Argentina,
Look for the hole in the wall shop.
Yeah.
Boris in 000 says, also don't forget about the kebabs Lego thing. Thank you. Kebabs, email me so I put an actual the housekeeping. Remember, kindoffunny.com/Lego. We have the podcast studio in Lego Creative right now. This whole studio.
Oh, really?
Built into the Lego thing. And if it gets enough votes, they have to actually look at it and see if they want to publish it.
Ah, that's cool.
So
that's
go to kindoffunny.com/Lego. Vote for kebabs thing. You do have to register, but it takes 2 seconds. Ill Grilled Chills back to say the Paper Mario game on the Wii was Super Paper Mario. Thank you very much. And then OmniVision says, currently in a suburb of Cleveland, getting 500 megabits down and 50 up. So you'd be fine for Stadia there.
Okay.
That's all he's saying. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Cleveland yeah, true.
Sucks, though. You
know Ladies and gentlemen, let's go run through your hosts for next week. It's a banger of a week. Yeah. Monday, it's me and Trisha Hirschberger. Tuesday, it's me and Jacob Decker from GameSpot. Wednesday, it's me and Gary. Thursday, I head to Comic-Con, so it's Andrea and Fran. Friday, then it's Fran and Andrea. Justin.
Boom.
Gonna be a big week for you next week. Jay and Silent Bob. Mall Brawl.
Something's
happening. Maybe a full announcement. Something happened next week.
Some things.
Some other stuff happened with the other game, too.
Yeah.
Big deal.
Chronic Blunt Punch. Yeah.
Where can people keep up with you?
You could follow us at InterrobangENT on Instagram and Twitter. What other platforms are like?
That's pretty much it.
That's pretty much it. Yeah, I mean, Facebook, if you're like 36 plus, you know what I'm saying?
There's no lie.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is my Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every week, down a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/Kind of Funny Games. Watch twitch.tv/Kind of Funny Games. Watch youtube.com/Kind of Funny Games. Watch roosterteeth.com. Listen, podcast services around the globe. Justin, you killed it. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Until next time.
Dope.
It was?
Yes, it's amazing.
Was it as dope as your jacket?
It was doper.
Oh,
it was cool. It's a cool experience.
Wow, and I like cows too.
They're good. They're good to eat.
Until next time. It's been our pleasure to serve you.